Let us pray. Father, through weak, fallible human words and through your holy written word, may we come to know your living word, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Please be seated. The eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute sing for joy. This promise we heard from Isaiah 35 is a snapshot of what will occur when God comes at last to save Israel from her exile. It's a promise of what God himself will do for his people. In today's gospel reading from Mark chapter 7, we see this very thing happen, as well as in Mark 8 a few verses later, when the eyes of a blind man are opened. These two healing miracles form a pair that together point directly back to this promise in Isaiah. What Mark is telling us is that Jesus is doing what God himself promised to do, not metaphorically, but literally. Eyes and ears are opened at the touch of this man from Nazareth. God told Moses in the burning bush, "Who has made man's mouth? Who makes him mute or deaf or seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord?" For those with eyes to see and ears to hear, this man from Nazareth was none other than that same Lord who spoke to Moses that day, who spoke to Isaiah of Israel's salvation. Not only was this man the promised Messiah, he was God himself in the flesh, fulfilling his own promises among us. Israel's salvation had come. If you have been a believer for any length of time, hearing about God's coming in the flesh can feel less like good news and more like old news. We become used to things we hear often, even if those things are the most wondrous things the world has ever heard. Yet I hope that as followers of Jesus, we never stop wondering at the reality that God walked with us, that he was a person whose physical touch we could feel, that our physical eyes were once open to see the face of God, a face like ours, with expressions and mannerisms, with eyes to see us, that our ears were open to hear his voice, carried through the air, distinct, laden at times with emotion, sorrow, frustration, laughter, lightheartedness, compassion. Perhaps you've heard of the Shroud of Turin, a piece of ancient linen that is purported to be the burial cloth of Jesus, with the image of his body and face imprinted on it. C.S. Lewis kept a photograph of the shroud in his bedroom, not because he was convinced of the shroud's authenticity, but because he needed a reminder every morning and every evening that his God had a face that could have left such an impression for us to see today. We can't approach the life of Jesus, we can't begin to understand his miracles, unless, like children, we find ever-increasing wonder in who he was. Emmanuel, God with us, among us, one of us. Jesus is the unfathomable mystery at the heart of all creation. And he came so that we might believe in him and entrust ourselves to his care. So with renewed wonder, we turn to the miracle in today's gospel, and we'll pair it with the healing of the blind man in chapter 8. If you open your Bibles to Mark 7 and 8 and flip the page between the two miracles, you'll see that the parallels are strong. At verses 31 and 22, respectively, a brief mention is made of Jesus' location on his travels. Then a group of anonymous people bring someone in need to Jesus. This isn't the first time in Mark that we've seen anonymous people act on behalf of those they love. There were those in Capernaum who brought the sick and oppressed to Jesus. There were the four who carried the paralytic to him, the people of Gennesaret who brought the sick on their beds to wherever they heard he was. Later, we see anonymous people bringing children to Jesus that he might touch them. Here, too, in these parallel miracles, anonymous friends are begging Jesus to lay hands on the deaf and mute man, to touch the blind man. These friends with eyes to see are leading one to Jesus who can't see him. With mouths to speak, they are interceding on behalf of one who can't speak, who is watching these friends of his communicate with a strange man using words he can't hear. These friends care deeply. They know that life has not been easy for the blind man and for the deaf and mute man. And they are doing for them what they cannot do for themselves: find Jesus and ask for his healing touch. The pleading of these nameless friends stirs the compassion of Jesus. In both cases, he takes the suffering man away to a quiet place, away from the crowds. The blind man he takes by the hand to lead him outside the village. Next, he uses saliva. We don't know why exactly, though it was generally believed at the time that saliva had healing properties, especially if it belonged to a holy person. It's possible that Jesus did this for the benefit of these suffering men so that they understood in their limited way what he was about to do for them. Then Jesus touches the man, the blind man on the eyes, the deaf and mute man on the tongue and ears. The blind man's eyes are opened, and the deaf man's ears are opened, and his tongue is released to speak. These men suddenly have faculties they've never had before, can communicate in ways they've never been able to before. They've been given eyes to see, ears to hear, and freedom to speak. As we heard moments ago, the nameless friends are astonished beyond measure, saying he has done all things well. Or, perhaps to borrow words from Ecclesiastes 3:11, he has made everything beautiful in its time. The final parallel Mark gives between the two miracles is Jesus' command to secrecy. We know how well that one worked out. As I reflect on these stories from Mark's gospel, I see myself in the deaf and mute man. There was a time when I was completely unable to hear words of acceptance, words of forgiveness, words of delight, words of reassurance and peace. I couldn't even comprehend that I was deaf to those things. I had no experience of what it means to hear the voice of God. And I couldn't express my own need to him. All I could manage was an inarticulate, half-hearted, whimpering cry for help. I see myself in the blind man, groping in the dark for a God I couldn't seem to find. I was unable to see others. I was unable to see myself, and yet by some strange irony, I could only see myself in all things. I didn't know, as St. Ignatius came to discover, that it's possible to see God in all things. I didn't know that it's possible to see a future in which life looks different, a future I can hope for because I can trust God to keep his promise, to make all things new, to make everything beautiful in its time. Much of healing ministry is helping people to hear and to see Jesus, helping them to express what is bound up inside them so that it can be released. Only Jesus can bring this about. Only he can open our eyes to see him, to see the world and ourselves in entirely new ways, to truly see others, their suffering, and how they uniquely reflect the image of God. Only Jesus can open our ears to hear him speaking peace to us. And only he can give us the freedom to speak to the Father. Paul says in Romans 8 that the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings or sighs too deep for words. We're told that when Jesus laid his hands on the deaf and mute man, he looked up to heaven and sighed deeply. I wonder if in that single breath he expressed to the Father all the pain and suffering the man had endured throughout his life because of his infirmity. It was a prayer too deep for words, a prayer that only the Spirit knew how to pray. He who knows our hearts is praying for us, praying those things we do not even know to pray. He puts words in our mouths to help us articulate our need to him. God told Moses in the burning bush that he hears the sighing of his people and remembers his covenant promise. God is so much on our side. He is helping us to do this so that he can fulfill his own promise. Our heartfelt prayers to God are not so much our own as they are the Spirit's. We are simply joining him in what he is already doing for us and through us. Within the mystery of the Holy Trinity, God is pleading to God on your behalf. Jesus stands before the throne at this moment on your behalf. The entire story of God's salvation is God doing for us what we cannot do for ourselves. He is on our side, drawing us to himself before we even know to look for him. Do we have eyes to see and ears to hear? Do you see him giving himself to you in the sunrise, in the kindness of others, through the love of children, through the bread and wine at the table? Do you hear him speaking peace to you, the Spirit groaning for you? Can you say with David that he put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God? It's okay if you can't yet. It's a process. The blind man came out of his blindness in stages. I still struggle with hearing God's voice in certain things. I struggle with seeing him in all things, and I struggle with knowing how to pray. But like the disciples, I've come to believe and I've come to know that Jesus is the Holy One of God, the healer the world has been waiting for. I can trust him to make all things new, to make everything beautiful in its time. Believe that Jesus is the healer you've been waiting for, even if you have no frame of reference for what healing might look like in your life, even if you can't envision a future bright enough to hope for. Turn to him. Turn to those who can hear and see him, who can pray in the Spirit, who can take you to Jesus in the quiet place. And if you do have ears to hear and eyes to see, be that person. Be one of the anonymous friends we see so often in the Gospels, leading the sick and wounded to the healer. Pray for the healing of those God leads you to encounter, even if they are unaware of your prayers. I believe that I am here today because of the many prayers of others, prayers of my parents, prayers of my grandparents, prayers of my wife, prayers of the church, prayers of strangers, people I have never met before, who brought me into the presence of Jesus. Ultimately, I am here because of his own prayer. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Pray as you have been prayed for. Join in the conversation of compassion that flows continuously between the Father and the Son. That compassion is the Holy Spirit who has been given to you. Pray in that spirit. Pray for those in need, that eyes and ears would open to Jesus, and that they would be given a new song of praise to our God. Pray for your enemies. When we pray for others, we are joining God in what He is already doing on their behalf. If we had read a little further in Isaiah 35 this morning, we would have read, "The ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away." God is on our side. We are helpless to find Him, but He is already helping us, making all things new, making everything beautiful in its time. We can trust that He will do it. In the words of Paul in 1 Corinthians, "No eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined what God has prepared for those who love Him." Amen.